Blessed are they who stand before the corrupt and the wicked and do not falter. Blessed are the peacekeepers, the champions of the just. Benedictions 4:10.
As the Genlocks bleed out in the fall grasses, Alenka turns to regard the chasm, shakes her head. There's no bridge. We need to cross here somehow. It'll take many hours that we don't have to reach the next crossing to the west or circle the lake to the east. Looking at a chasm that is 12 yards across.
I think the lake would provide better visibility than the forest from which these particular problems came. He says, bleeding profusely.
So I'm going to introduce us to a new little Dragon Age RPG rule, which is called the Breather. After a combat encounter, we can recover a little bit of health by taking a 5-minute breather.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the breather, everyone is going to recover 6 plus your constitution, whatever that is.
That's like a substantial 5 minutes.
Yes.
You really are. You're doing something good in that 5 minutes. Okay. Yeah.
So whatever your constitution score is, you can add that to 6 and you will recover that number of hit points.
We should take a few moments to relax and get a breather. Yes?
I think that is wise.
Not exactly the morning constitution I was expecting,
he says, hefting himself up on his quarterstaff.
Alenka, who's the only person that did not take any damage during that encounter, as you rest and recover, paces back and forth at the chasm's edge.
Vari can also, I do have a healer's kit, and I can do it as a minor action. So if anybody else needs more, I'm at about a little over half. So I'm gonna heal myself up as well.
I'm good. I'm full.
Vera?
I could handle some more. Yeah, I'm at 19 out of 37.
How do our mana points recover in Dragon Age Tall?
That would be the equivalent of a long rest, which we will not get to experience during the course of this adventure. So marshal your mana points, because what you see is what you get.
Understood. I'm going to reach into my pack then and pull out a healer's kit, and that is a +4. Oh, yeah. 19 is absolutely a pass to make how much healing?
That's going to be the heal action. So it's your cunning plus the result on your dragon die.
Great. You get 9 hit points back, Vera.
Oh, blessings. Thank you.
No problem.
And Alenka will try that same activity on you.
Great.
Sorry. She too has passed the cunning test, and her dragon die is 4 plus 4, so you get 8 more back, Vari.
Phenomenal.
She says, close the wound in your side, Vari. Now, perhaps you and your friends can see about closing the distance over that chasm.
I'm going to poke the body of the Genlock with the butt of my staff and say, do we think they were carrying any sort of information or perhaps valuables that might aid us in our own journeys?
Her hand immediately closes around your wrist, and she says, don't touch them any more than you have to. They're tainted. Make a perception test. There is a search focus. If you have that, you could apply it.
I do not, but that is 9.
You sift through the remains of the bodies. They each have the jagged, rough battle axes. Their armor is now hopelessly thrashed and ravaged and wouldn't really conform to any of your bodies anyway, even if you could salvage it. They are not carrying any written orders. One thing you do notice on the, we'll call him the Alpha Genlock, on his arm, there's a curious pattern of scarring, regular marks in succession. Try maybe a cunning check, Vari.
Sure. I have arcane and religious.
Neither of those would apply here. This would be an investigation if you had that focus.
16.
They remind you of crude hash marks, Vari, like it was maybe keeping a tally of something on its own flesh. There are 6 marks.
Hash marks. Perhaps they're measuring distance or how long they've been away.
What are you looking at?
A curiously symmetrical pattern on the arm here.
Continuing to use the butt of the staff, sort of flip the arm over.
And those slash marks, they look pretty fresh. Obviously not as fresh as the fight that you've just been in, but like they, over the past week, those wounds.
One would think this is Amani he has slain?
That was my first thought, but I would assume he's slain many more than this.
Well, we'll have some of those slash marks of our own, he says, sort of reaching towards his collarbone. Perhaps they are growing more cunning, but I think it's best that we follow the river towards the lake where we have clear visibility of anything coming towards us.
I agree.
The Arl insists it isn't a blight,
merely a vigorous raid from the Deep Roads, surface incursion. They do happen from time to time.
Well, we shall see, I suppose.
Do you think we can climb down and go across and go up the other side?
You all move to the edge of the chasm and take a look down. It does look like climbing down the gulf and then back up to the other side is possible. In mechanical terms, it will require a strength climbing test, and this will be what's called an advanced test, which we haven't done before. With advanced tests, each attempt takes a minute, and you're trying to rack up enough successful attempts to reach a success threshold. So what you're doing is you make an attempt, and if you succeed, you record the number on your dragon die. You then make another attempt. If you succeed again, you record the cumulative total of the dragon die until you beat the success threshold. In this case, you need to reach a 10 to climb down the near side. Each test attempt will take a minute or so. If you fail, there's going to be some damage.
Because we fall.
Because you fall, exactly.
Well, time or more pain. Those are our options.
I would prefer a bridge. Yes, but we don't have many options. Or we could go see where these creatures came from and maybe they had the way across, yes? Or there could be more of them.
I am curious where they came from, but I would prefer not to see any more like them. How long would it take us if we chose time?
If we aimed for the lake, because we could circumvent it.
If we aimed for the lake, yeah.
It would add a day.
A day. Well, I, in that case, would vote for risking the pain.
I agree.
It'll be easier to defend if we have a carriage moving much quicker than these darkspawn.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how we get a wagon back across this way, but...
Perhaps a long way around the lake, or another bridge. Mm-hmm. But you're right. I think if time is of the essence to meet an unprotected carriage, perhaps we chance it.
I'm all right to chance it if you are.
I don't have much strength, he says, looking at his barely hanging on arm.
You'll be fine. Let's go. Should I go first? Yes?
Yes.
What? You two are looking back at the woods. What?
Well, some rather large trees over there. Vera.
I do have an axe.
Yes.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I might be thinking what you're thinking.
What if we made our own bridge?
It might not be a bad idea.
Your intention is to make a bridge. Who would like to select an appropriate tree?
Oh.
What would that role be?
Cunning nature lore.
I'm not cunning. It should not be me.
I would like to press my luck then with my cunning. I will try and find a tree that looks like it is wide enough that perhaps we wouldn't slip and fall.
Maybe two?
That is 14.
You're able to select a couple of stout young oak trees, long and stable enough to bear your weight and span the chasm. Next step to this would be to prepare the tree. This is going to be a dexterity test with, if anyone has the crafting focus, you could apply that.
No crafting, but good dexterity.
Yeah, mine is okay. I have a focus in axes, but tragically, I think not in this context.
Why are you looking at me to chop down a tree? I am not the woodsman.
Sorry, this isn't actually chopping down the tree. It's basically like removing any obstructions between the tree and the chasm and also removing branches that are going to interfere with us. There is going to be an additional test to chop it down.
Oh, I see.
I was going to say, I walk back over to the darkspawn and I grab some of those hand axes.
Yeah.
And I say, well, why don't all three of us try and find a couple of spots that look the most dodgy and make sure that they don't make us trip?
Sounds like a plan to me.
We can do a combined test, which is a little bit like advantage. It's when multiple people roll. And if you're all trying the same thing, what happens is only the person who rolls best counts.
Great.
Sure.
So I'm assuming nobody has the crafting focus.
No.
Badly.
Okay. In that case, just everyone make a dexterity test.
10.
Xavier got a 14.
Fira got an 11.
With all of you working together, we're going to go with Xavier's roll of a 14. So with Xavier's guidance, you make a clear path to the bridge. You remove any branches that would affect the angle at which the trees are going to fall so that they will be correctly positioned. And you also dig out some of the earth between the trees and the bridge so that they will move downhill towards the bridge. Now, the main event, which is cutting down the tree so that it falls to create the bridge, or moving, like dragging the chosen trunk to the edge to get it to lay across the gulf. Trying to cut them in the way that they just fall correctly is going to be a cunning engineering test. or cutting them down first and then just moving them into position will be a strength might test.
Ooh.
Well, I'm good at cunning. Does anybody, what's your strength?
I'm 2 at strength.
I'm 3 at strength, but I don't have that focus area.
I'm 3 cunning, but not that focus.
So it's a toss up.
Mm-hmm.
I did my part. And Xavier will relax by the bridge with his hands behind his head. Come on.
Why don't you try and see if you can cut them the right way? And then if you cut them the wrong way, I'll drag them to where they need to be. As long as you don't drop it on us.
Bari arches an eyebrow, hefts the hand axes onto his shoulder and just says,
Fear, this is going to be a very interesting adventure if all of us are constantly going to expect the other one to do the work here. But oh. I'll give it my best.
Bari's going to take the hand axes and just sort of circle the tree a couple times until he sort of eyeballs what he thinks is the best angle.
In this case, each character who helps Vari gets to add a +1 to Vari's roll.
Vari, if you feel so strongly about not taking the initiative yourself, I would be more than happy to assist you on this task of chopping the tree down.
I believe, Ms. Fira, that my talents lie in books and, of course, healing you when your bravery in battle continues to need support.
I remind you, books are made out of trees, yeah?
Just going to glare over Fira's shoulder at Xavier.
Alenka says, watch my robe, wait for the wind to blow to the north. She sort of stands in clear view, and as the wind whips her robes to the north, she immediately begins to frantically wave that you should do it. So this is going to be a cunning test. I'm assuming you don't have engineering.
I do not.
No. Okay, so just a straight cunning test. You do get a +1 for Alenka helping you.
Great. With Alenka's bonus, that is a 15.
15 will do it. The trunks fall neatly into place. One of them rolls slightly. For a moment, it looks like it's going to roll on a diagonal and then drop into the chasm, but it comes to a stop. One of them is straight across. The other one is across at a slight angle, but they're close enough to each other that together they form a rough but serviceable bridge, crossing which is going to require a dexterity acrobatics test.
Cool.
Would be a much harder dexterity acrobatics test if you had failed that earlier test about preparing them. But it's now reasonable because you did that correctly.
Right.
So everyone is going to take their own dexterity test to try to cross the bridge safely.
Okay. I should go first. Yes.
Show us how it's done.
Alenka hasn't waited for you and she will easily make it across with a 19.
Xavier gets a 12.
That is enough, Xavier. You also pick your way carefully across.
Ari gets a 15.
Vari as well crosses safely, leaving Fira looking at the rest of you from the other side of the bridge.
Fira got an 8.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Fira, one of the logs does roll. Fira, I'm going to ask you to make another, this will be a slightly harder dexterity test to try to grab hold.
Great.
And not fall over the side.
Is there any way to assist by using my quarterstaff or trying to nudge the log back in place?
That's kind.
I will give Fira a +1.
Great.
Okay. 12.
You try to lever the log back into place as Fira rolls and slips over the side. Her hands scramble for a moment. It looks like she's going to find purchase, but then she drops down into the chasm. Gonna give you some damage here. You hit the chasm wall. You will take 4 damage. This is penetrating damage.
Sure.
So unfortunately not mitigated by your armor. And you can try another dexterity test to arrest your fall.
Okay. That's an 18.
Thankfully, you do manage to grab the rocky side of the chasm after falling only about a quarter of the length to the bottom, which incidentally does look not survivable had you fallen all the way down.
Great.
Xavier, get some rope.
If they're lowering you rope, you can
I don't have rope.
Oh, okay. Does anyone?
Not directly now.
Okay.
No. Can I lean over and reach out as far as I can?
Yes. She's starting out of the range of your grip, but it certainly will make it easier once she reaches your hand to go the remaining distance. So Xavier lies down, lowers himself over the chasm, is reaching down one hand towards Fira.
I've gone through the lake. I told you, no one listens to Xavier.
If I make it out, I'll listen to you next time.
Okay. Fira, you must make a strength. If you have climbing as a focus, you can apply that. If not, it's okay. Just a straight strength test.
I'm going to be down on one knee so that I can help keep Xavier from falling in further.
It's a 10. That's a 10.
You're not going to fall on this one, but you do not make any progress.
Cool. My life hangs in the balance.
Yes, so you must make another one.
Okay. Another strength?
Yep.
Okay. 21.
The humans are watching. So you pull yourself together.
It's humiliating. It's not great.
Scramble back up until you reach Xavier's hand. Your hand closes around his.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
Come on, come up.
Yes.
You pull Fira up. The two of you land in a heap on the north side of the chasm.
I don't know what happened there. That's very, very unlike me. And I appreciate that you lent me a hand.
Ari is going to cast. He's going to cast a heal spell to heal a couple more points.
So you'll first need to make magic test.
That is 18.
That's certainly going to succeed.
And then how
any,
many are you
any
down?
Doubles, by the way?
No doubles.
I'm at 24. It's not scary. I'm just not super battle ready.
I'm going to burn 2 MP for 2d6.
Oh.
7 more.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
The road on the other side of the missing bridge cuts through rockier, hilly terrain. Alenka leads you to a defensible location just off the road. She says, so we can stop for a quick lunch here. We're about halfway to our destination.
There will be a little less to do on this back half.
She says, perhaps somebody had better keep watch.
I can take first watch.
I can watch as well.
She says, my first job at the Circle Tower was to assist the cook there. I learned the importance of salt and garlic. Before we left Stenhold, I took the liberty of liberating some, which can always brighten any meal. I don't suppose anyone would care to go and shoot a rabbit. Not, I have some radishes. I've got a potato. I could roast it.
I could try, but once again, I am not a hunter, but I could try.
I am happy to try.
If you would like to hunt, you can make a perception test. If you would like to forage for plants, you could make a perception test with a focus on searching. Hunting would be focus on tracking.
Xavier got a 17. He's looking for something to eat, like a rabbit.
Xavier will spot a rabbit with a 17. Let's now try a stealth test, Xavier, to see if you can get close enough to it without it bolting.
Dexterity?
Yes, dexterity and stealth if you've got the stealth focus.
10.
The rabbit bolts at the last moment. Alenka suddenly has appeared behind you. She says, it's a shame, but I can see that you've got plenty of other talents. Besides, one rabbit more or less can't mean much to a man with 2 gold sovereigns in his pocket.
No, I only have one. I give one to the dwarf.
She nods. Well, definitely not getting paid enough to risk your life fighting the likes of Genlocks. She removes her boot and shakes the sand from it. You know, you could probably earn 50 of those gold sovereigns. 100 times what you'll make otherwise if those children were held and ransomed instead of escorted back to Stenhold.
Interesting, to say the least, yes?
I'm not sure if you're familiar with how much money that is. So I'll put it in these terms. 1 gold sovereign is worth 100 silver coins, and 50 sovereigns would be enough to buy 3 dozen good riding horses or a Denerim townhouse outright. A person could live on that for years. It's more money than most Fereldans will see in their lifetimes. Might even allow someone to live in Ferelden as if they were in Orlais.
I'm the only one there, right?
Yes, you are the only one there, yeah. Yeah, she followed you when you went hunting.
Yeah. Is this some sort of test, yes, from you?
No. The gold coin was the test, and you passed.
I will think about this.
Very good. Blaker is the children's escort back from Denerim. I know for a fact that he has some debts in need of settling. He could easily be talked into ransoming the whelps, provided that his share covers his debts. Just think about it. It might be worth the risk.
Trust me, I am thinking.
Very good. Do you think your new friends will be receptive to the idea?
I do not know them very well, but no, I do not.
She nods.
Perhaps the dwarf, but not the other.
I am unsure. I think that my seniority in the circle may hold some sway with Vari. Fira is, it's difficult to say. And mind you, it's not like we're committing some gruesome crime. If things go well, the children won't even know what's happening. When we meet, I shall tell them there's been a darkspawn incursion, and it's too dangerous for them to return home. I'll say the Arl has tasked me with imploring Sir Baker to keep them for a bit longer. In the meantime, we return to Stenhold with a ransom note. Neruda pays the money. We all get richer. His children are returned unharmed. You've met the man. You've seen how he treats those around him.
I did see this, yes.
What harm is there in spreading his wealth around a little?
This is an interesting proposition.
There's no need to decide now, but the moment of truth will arrive when we catch up with Sir Blaker and his young charges.
What would happen if things go badly? He says no.
She says, Blaker, she watches you. I don't think that will be an issue with Sir Blaker. Do you understand?
Okay.
Well, no rabbits. Potatoes and turnips it is, everyone. Luckily, I've got the salt and garlic. She returns to the campsite.
Xavier takes a breath or two, thinks about this proposition.
What has Vari been up to in the meantime?
Vari has been trying to collect a bunch of dry tinder so that he can get a proper campfire started and is just keeping watch. He's sort of circling around.
And what was Fira up to?
I think Fira was attempting to forage.
That'll be a perception test for Fira. If you've got searching, you could apply that focus.
Would be a 13.
13 is a success. Fira, you find some hen of the woods growing on the base of an oak tree. Your mother used to make these. They fetch a good price in the market, and it would really ideally be great to have some oil. But even fried in a simple fire, they're quite delicious.
Wonderful. I'm happy to share these with my friends after how you've helped me today.
She says, ah, hen of the woods, you've quite an eye. Have you spent much time foraging?
Oh, no, but my mother used to make these when I was young, so they were easy to spot.
I understand. My experience with dwarves is sadly limited. We don't have them in the Circle Tower, you know.
No. We're excellent cooks.
Oh, please, I yield the floor to you then. She backs away, passes you the...
We're excellent cooks. I did not train so much under my mother, but I'm happy to give it a shot.
There's no role needed here. I'll just say you do as well or as badly as you think that.
Do not burn the garlic.
It's going to be mid. It's functional. The things that needed to cook are cooked.
Okay, yep.
I would say the garlic is heavy-handed.
As soon as you smell the garlic, put the other stuff in. Don't burn the garlic.
Oh, all right. I think it's ready. I think this is, it at least looks right.
As you finish the meal, which is certainly food, it's nothing
there's
to complain
praise
about.
If I ever heard it, it's food.
Does not meet Orlesian standards.
No.
The potatoes and turnips are much better with the hen of the woods that Fira found than they might have been without them. Beasts scurry through the brush. Hooting owls can be heard in the distance. The hooting gets louder as you begin to break camp. And I'd like everyone to make a perception seeing test.
Fira rolled an 11.
12 for Vari.
15 for Xavier.
All of you notice an extremely large owl with blood-red eyes flying towards your makeshift campsite.
No.
Oh, that's a scary-looking owl, man.
Yeah.
Alenka rises to her feet, kicking the ashes from the fire, and she says, it's blighted. Hi, everybody. Tal Aviaser from Cast Party here. We hope you're enjoying episode 2 of Podcast Party Dragon Age, the third of 3 miniseries we're presenting in partnership with Green Ronin Publishing. The show will be back shortly for the second part. You can check out all of these systems we've been playing, the Expanse role-playing game, Fantasy Age, and Dragon Age, at greenronin.com. And you can learn more about Green Ronin's 26 years of TTRPG publishing at atomicthinktank.com. The cast of Podcast Party Dragon Age includes the amazing Katie Lear as Fira. Katie is the co-founder of Young Dragon Slayers, an online community where kids and teens can play Dungeons & Dragons in a safe, inclusive, and supervised environment. Young Dragon Slayers gets to know each player as an individual and then thoughtfully matches them with an adventuring party that fits their playstyle and their interests to encourage genuine friendships and satisfying gameplay. Whether they're seasoned players or total beginners, they help D&D-loving kids find their people. Learn more at www.youngdragonslayers.com. If you're a member of our Patreon at the hero level and above, you're listening to this episode 1 week earlier than the general public, and we thank you so much for your support. If you'd like early access to the podcast, as well as downloadable TTRPG content created by us, please join Cast Party's Patreon. I'll include a link in the show notes. And if you really like us, you can join at the champion level, like James Bowie, Robert Rocky, Jerry Corliss, and John Marku White, and get a special shout out on the show. Cast Party's professional game masters are available to hire for online games. We have games for kids as well as adults, and our DMs can run almost any of the official Dungeons & Dragons adventures, as well as other systems like Dragon Age. Details at cast-party.com. As always, we're offering free monthly adventures with our Game Masters. These free games fill up quickly, so if you'd like to grab a spot, you should join our email list or our Discord server. Links to both can be found at cast-party.com. Do you ever feel like you have a great visual picture in your head, but you need a little help putting it into words? Well, with a subscription to Describe, you can access thousands of descriptions of monsters, spells, locations, and more, as well as maps, music, and sound effects to enhance your games. Only at Describe.com. That's DSCRYB.com. Would you like 10% off that subscription? Follow the link in the show notes and use the discount code CASTPARTY, all one word, all caps, to save 10% on your first subscription. If you enjoy Podcast Party, please follow the show, rate us, and leave us a review, and join us on Patreon and Discord. We'd love to hear from you. Message us on social media or email us at info@cast-party.com. Follow us on Facebook at Cast Party DND or on Blue Sky at Cast Party. Thanks very much for listening, and now back to our adventure.
Drop my staff and take a shot at it?
Sure. We're going to go into initiative.
That's a 17 initiative for Bari.
11 for Xavier.
17 for Fira.
Bari and Fira, can you tell me what you got on your dragon dice on those rolls?
Mine was a 6.
Fira will have the first move, followed by Bari.
Cool. No ranged weapons for me. Looking great. love in this first place.
In the initiative. What'll I do? Quick defense. Yeah. I'm going to do that. +2 bonus to my defense until the beginning of my next turn. That sounds prudent. And then I guess as a minor action, I will ready my spear just in case.
So you ready the spear and you brace yourself for attack. I think it's going to add 2 to your armor, correct?
Great.
It is Vari's turn.
I am going to fire off an arcane lance at it. And that is 15 with a doubles.
Ooh, 15 does not hit this. The owl banks as it shrieks towards you. Did you move, Vari?
No, I was going to try and fire at it from where it was and then assess after the shot.
Fair enough. So you've still got your minor action.
I'm going to back up 2 and just say, remember, we can't afford to let them get any closer than the last group.
With an eerie, pained, agonized shriek, it dives down through the air towards your group. Dives at Xavier. It is trying to rake you with its talons. That is a 19.
Oh yeah, that's gonna hit.
No doubles. 11 points of damage.
I take 7.
It tears your armor. That was its action. It has an action called dive. With its minor action, it is going to circle.
Got like a flyby thing.
Yeah, so it arcs back into the air away from you. It is Xavier's turn.
Can I take a shot at him with my crossbow?
Absolutely.
I'm going to use my minor action to aim. Give me a +1. Pissed off at this thing. Fucking bad. Oh, that's not going to hit. 11's not going to hit.
11 does not hit. As it arcs away through the air, you try to lead it and fire where you think it's going to be, but your shot is a little early and drops away just before the owl crosses its path. Alenka also tries to fire at it. She will use her arcane lance, fires an energy bolt from her staff, also missing, and we're back to Fira.
I would love to try to draw this thing to me, to try to like taunt it into making its next attack toward me.
Okay. Yeah. I buy that. I'm going to call that a communication test.
Love that.
I don't think you've got anything in particular to do with attracting owls here. So we're
no,
just going to call
no
this.
There's no bird call.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
But some whooping, perhaps. Ooh, some hooting and hollering. Yeah.
I buy that. And you're not a terrible communicator with a 2.
No.
So you jump up and down. You're making attractive hooting noises, trying to present a target. So let's try it. Let's go ahead. Communications.
Great. That is a 13.
Okay, I'm going to contest this with the willpower of the owl. It got a 12. You see its glowing red eyes focus on Fira, and you have little doubt that it has chosen its next target.
Great. I guess I'll take a little bit of movement this way just to try to further draw it out of the line of fire.
And it is Vari's turn again.
While Fira is sort of drawing its attention, Vari's going to minor action aim and mutter under his breath, come on then. He's seen other mages who can sort of, when they wave their staff, the way they flick almost like a curveball, the magic energy can sort of swing on a curve rather than a straight line. And he's going to try and do this sort of open arm curveball thing as he casts Arcane Lance again. 14 to hit, which I think does not.
14 does not, unfortunately. Damn. Does not look like it has much armor at all to speak of, right? So if you do connect with it, it's not going to be able to mitigate a lot of damage, but it is very nimble and small. It is the owl's turn. It is certainly going to target Fira, having been hooted at derisively.
Hooted at. I don't know what I said, but it might have been very insulting. Like, we don't know.
It is going to dive at ooh, because you moved, you actually fucked up its... Mm-hmm. Okay. Ooh. It's just going to fly at Fira. That's its minor action. So it flies directly towards Fira. It is going to try to rake Fira with its talons, but it will not then be able to fly back away from you.
Cool to know.
Talon attack. Yeah, 18. Certainly going to hit. That is going to do 7 damage. But this time it hovers right in front of Fira as it slashes at her. You know, it's pretty much level, like, you know, maybe a foot above Fira's head, kind of flapping there in the air, well within reach of everyone. Ooh. It is Xavier's turn.
So is there any kind of grapple, punch, that sort of thing?
You want to try to grab it?
Yeah, because I can use my minor action to move, and then I can just grab the stupid.
Okay. For a grapple, I would call that a strength check. I'm assuming you don't have a focus on like grappling or wrestling or anything like that.
No.
Okay. So I would say it would be a strength check, but I will allow the owl to oppose it with its dexterity.
Okay, great. So Xavier's pissed off because it attacked him. He's going to run up and he's just going to try to grab this stupid owl.
Mm-hmm.
Come, give me a good 12.
It didn't roll great, but I think it's still going to beat that. That's really good dexterity. It got a 14. So yeah, it does slip through your arms. It's still kind of in position there, but you just kind of close your arms and it just sort of loops around you a little bit and avoids your grip. It is Alenka's turn. She spins her staff, holds it with both hands, points it, and aims an arcane lance at it. Oof, no, missing again. And it is Fira's turn.
Is this thing still hovering like
it
a
is,
foot?
It is, yeah. Yep, still right in front of you.
Can I, in that case, attempt to poke it with my two-handed spear? Is it like poking range?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful. All right, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try and take a stab at this thing in the air. It's like an 11 attack.
Dodges out of the way again.
I think Var is going to try another arcane lance. He's also going to attempt a poking type motion rather than the wide swing. He's going to go for a straight sort of jab and see if he can push the energy straight out through the lance. 15 with the aim is 16. No, that'll do it.
16 does not hit it.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
Mother.
Anything else, Vari?
No, that's the...
Okay.
Booty's turn.
It rakes its talons at Fira. 14, Fira.
That will hit.
7 damage.
Okay.
All right, it's going to circle around. It's in position to dive at Fira again. It's Xavier's turn.
He's going to reload his crossbow, which takes his major action.
You could, if you want, aim now for what it's worth, which would give you a +1 on your next attack.
Oh, okay. So he will, yeah, so he will reload his crossbow, and then he will take aim, hoping it survives to the next round. Can't hit it, so right. I'm guessing it will.
Alenka is going to try the arcane lance again. Maybe. Oof, no. Missing by 1. Another bolt of magical energy into the air. It's Fira's turn.
Cool. So this thing is way out of range. I'm going to repeat my hooting and hollering and running maneuver.
Yep. Communications test.
My communications. Yep. A 13.
This time you're unsure if your gambit has attracted the attention of the owl.
Tragic. But I will also try to run to hopefully be harder for this thing to reach me.
Okay, Vari.
Can I see, I know it's a little further away from us, if it looks like it's circling to this direction or that direction?
It looks like it was circling to target Fira again with its diving attack. However, by moving, it now looks like she has again broken its intended line of attack, and it will probably not be able to do that.
I'm going to take a deep, slow breath and try to focus my arcane energy into just the calmest, most directed shot of the path I think it was going to try and make before Fira started running, and go for another aimed attack. There we go. 12 and 5 is 17, and 1 is 18 to hit with doubles?
Yes, and 18 does
hit. Thank fucking God.
Yes.
You know what? I'm going to pour 3 mighty blows into it, and I'm okay. going to do 5d6 to this motherfucker.
Nice.
All right, there we go. 10, 11, 12, and 2 more. 12 and 7 is 19 damage.
19 damage. Okay, there is an explosion of dark feathers. It screeches. There is a horrible tearing, rending noise. It is very badly damaged, but it is still aloft. Ugh. The ragged, damaged, dying owl makes one final attempt, screeching. It drops. It has to use its fly action, flies towards Xavier, and it is going to, this time, try to bite rather than rake. 13 total.
That is my armor class.
No doubles. 13 damage.
Ooh.
Oh. It closes its distended beak over your collarbone, Xavier, and latches on, tearing at you. It is still there right next to Xavier on the start of Xavier's turn.
So that hurts. I am hurt.
Oh, no.
And a blighted animal. Oh, shit. Okay.
My turn, right?
Yes.
Can I shoot a crossbow at it this close? Is there
Yes, there's no issue with that, actually.
So I have my crossbow loaded and aimed. 13 is not going to hit, is it?
No. Even with the aim, which would make it 14, that is not enough. You're not used to shooting anything in your face. Fire it, goes straight up in the air. You're screaming, the owl is screaming and flapping its wings and tearing at you. Anything else, Xavier?
Yeah, I'm going to use my minor action to move.
Yep, figured.
I'm going to move in between the two mages.
Okay.
Try to use them as cover.
Alenka fires Arcane Lance. Okay, that is going to hit. Another 10 points of damage will kill it. So as you run away from it, Xavier, Alenka's arcane bolt finds its mark, and the smoking dead body of the blighted owl crashes to the ground. She stoops over it. She cocks her head. Her knuckles go white on the staff. She pokes at it. She looks over back at Vari and then at Xavier. Doesn't say anything.
As that's happening, I'm running over to Xavier, and I'm also grabbing a small ember from the campfire, if possible. I know we scattered it a little earlier.
Yeah.
Can I go inspect the bite?
Yes. You don't have medicine as a focus, do you?
I don't, but I do have chirurgy yes. as a talent. So I'm wondering if there's any sort of arcane healing or medicinal healing that I could possibly treat this.
You know that burning a wound is going to hurt, but will sterilize it.
Yeah. Will it stop the darkspawn blood?
Cunning test, and if you can apply Arcana here.
Great. Oof. Not great roll. 3, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 total.
Your training didn't cover blight infection. You just know how to treat regular infection, which burning it is going to hurt, but would do it.
This is going to hurt, but it may be the only way to stop anything terrible from happening.
What and are I'm gonna, you doing? Why are you coming at me with fire?
You've been bitten, and I don't know how bad it is.
It's just a stupid bite from a bird.
How do I explain to you quickly? That's not what it is. Stay there, and I'm going to try and come closer to him with the makeshift fire poker.
What are you doing?
Let me help you.
And I'm going to try and apply it as a sort of, is there a way to apply it as like a healing action to just cauterize it?
Well, it really has to do with how much Xavier is helping or resisting you.
What?
If he's allowing you to do it, I don't think a roll would be required.
He looks down at the wound. Does it look different than other wounds?
Do you have medicine as a focus?
No.
The way it is on your body, it's actually kind of hard for you to look at it, but go ahead and make a perception test.
Right. 11.
It looks like a bloody wound around your collarbone. I guess even with 11, you would know, like, you wouldn't immediately see any kind of infection. It just happened to you like less than a minute ago.
Okay. But if you're screwing with me, I will kill you. And I will pull my short sword out and go ahead, do it. Come on, do it.
Hold it against my neck if you need to. And I will
slowly press and try to sear the wound shut.
I hold it against your groin.
As that is happening, I've got eyes locked on the wound, and I try to relate a sort of anecdotal tale of some of the people we've treated saying this was not something covered in my particular school of studies, but I am to understand that the way the darkspawn spread
is via a form of infection, and I do not understand this entirely.
Does that hurt? Yes,
I promised you I would do my best.
I hate you.
I need you to understand. I would rather you hate me than not be able to speak to me.
Cut off your testicles.
There's a grotesque sizzling of flesh as this monologue is rattled off. The blade stays drawn. The wound sizzles. It is certainly cauterized.
Fantastic.
I lift it off. I keep eye contact with him and say, you may now remove your short sword.
If that leaves a scar, I will give you one as well. I'll sheathe my sword.
I sigh and collapse back into a heap next to the campfire.
Alenka is going to take the healing action on Xavier after that ordeal. That does succeed. She did get a 6, so that is going to be 10 hit points restored to Xavier.
All right. Still wounded, but better.
Thank you.
You're still staring at the body of the owl. And then she says, well, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't change anything.
What does that mean?
I want to tell him.
She says, I don't think it's a raid. That's all. Children might be better off in Denerim. I don't know. But she says to Xavier, all the better, eh? All the better.
What are you saying?
She says, we'd better find the Isle's children with all haste. I think there's something much worse than a raid afoot in Ferelden. I don't know. That's an owl from the surface. It's spreading.
Is this going to spread to me?
She says, no. No, of course not.
Are you fucking lying?
You can make a perception check. If you have empathy or insight, you can try it.
13?
She doesn't know.
With religious lore, would I be able to, as we sort of calmed down around the campfire, relate to them anything that has been talked about with the Darkspawn and or Blights as sort of like a tale before bed?
Sure. We did just stop for lunch, so we're not actually about to turn in. But Alenka says it's best that we press on. But certainly, as you proceed northeast, you can share any lore that you know about Darkspawn with your companions.
Yeah. You want me to roll for it?
Sure.
13.
Patrick, do you feel comfortable doing that?
Only bits and pieces. It's been a while since I played the first game.
Okay. What Vari is able to tell you then is there have been 4 Blights, which are vast scourges of Darkspawn that have threatened to extinguish the lives of mortals both above and below the surface of Thedas, of your world. The Blights happen whenever the Darkspawn, who are forever digging and tunneling and searching in the Deep Roads, the ancient homes of your people, Fira. What they're trying to find are the bodies of the old gods, ancient dragons, 7 of them buried beneath the earth. The old gods are said to be singing to the Darkspawn, and the Darkspawn hear the song. They dig to unearth these dragons, and then they infect the dragons with the Blight. The dragons rise as archdemons. Every Blight has been accompanied by the rise of an ancient blighted dragon known as an archdemon, which has led a massive attack by Darkspawn on the surface. And Darkspawn take and twist and change the different peoples of the surface, humans, elves, dwarves, into different varieties of Darkspawn, sort of twisted mockeries of dwarves and elves and humans who live only to put the people of the surface to the sword, to devour them, to defile them, and to spread the Blight. Each of the 4 Blights that have occurred in history was said to be a catastrophe, halted only with the death of the archdemon leading the Blight. A lot of people at this point believe that there will never be another Blight and that some of those stories are more legend than truth. As you approach the waypoint, you can see the light of a dying campfire ahead. At first, you're relieved as Sir Blaker and the children must be waiting for you ahead, but as you draw closer, you realize something's wrong. First, you notice a distinct lack of noises of camp. Then you see the wagon lying on its side, one of its wheels sheared off. And then you see the bodies. 6 horses, 3 Ferelden guardsmen, 2 wolves, twisted and defiled, much like the owl was, blighted, 2 dead Genlocks, and a dead Herlock, which is a Darkspawn mockery of a human. They're scattered. Clearly a battle was fought here and not long ago. One of the Blight Wolves came to rest in the campfire, and its smoldering fur is sending up an awful reek. The smoke is trailing into the night sky above you. There is no sign of Sir Blaker or either of the children among the dead. Thanks for listening. This series was game mastered by me, Tal Aviazer, with Andy Canistra as Xavier, Katie Lear of Young Dragon Slayers as Fira, and Patrick Marin as Vari. This episode was edited by me, Tal Aviazer, and Carolyn Fox. Big shout-outs to Monument Studios and to freesounds.org for sounds and music you're hearing on these shows. If you enjoy Podcast Party, please follow the show, rate us, and leave us a review. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with episode 3 of Podcast Party Dragon Age.